Raj, the king of all Shastras, Canto 3, Chapter 29, entitled Explanation of Devotional Service. It looks like you're on the last verse today. So what more can I say than all the illustrious speakers who have spoken on this verse the last 45 days? But I'll try to say something. Text 45. Sananto Takarakalo Nadiradi Krit Avyaya Janam Janena Janayan Marayan Mrityunaptakam. Translation. The eternal time factor has no beginning and no end. It is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the maker of the criminal world. It brings about the end of the phenomenal world. It carries on the work of creation by bringing one individual into existence from another. And likewise, it dissolves the universe by destroying even the Lord of Death, Yamaraj. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. By the influence of eternal time, which is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Father begets a Son, and the Father dies by the influence of cruel death. But by time's influence, even the Lord of cruel death is killed. In other words, all the demigods within the material world are temporary, like ourselves. Our lives last for 100 years at most, and similarly, although their lives may last for millions and billions of years, the demigods are not eternal. No one can live in this material world eternally. The phenomenal world is created, maintained, and destroyed by the finger signal of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a devotee does not desire anything in this material world. A devotee desires only to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This servitude exists eternally. The Lord exists eternally. His servitor exists eternally. And the service exists eternally. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to the third canto, 29th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Explanation of Devotional Service by Lord Kapila. Translation again. The eternal time factor has no beginning and no end. It is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the maker of the criminal world. We're all prisoners. From Brahma down to the insignificant end. Nothing to be proud about. How can anyone display pride in this world, regardless of one's situation, if one is a prisoner in the criminal world? What is your address? Criminal world. It brings about the end of the phenomenal world. It carries on the work of creation by bringing one individual into existence from another. And likewise, it dissolves the universe by destroying even the Lord of Death, Yamaraj. I'm very happy to be here again in Pune and have this opportunity to render some service to the greater Vaishnav community by commenting on this verse and in particular the words of my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, in his purport. So thank you. If you were listening attentively, the subject matter of the verse today is quite obvious. It is time. Actually, time, for those who study the Shastras carefully, is one of the main subject matters in Vedic literature, actually. There's a whole chapter of this Bhagavad Purana, Bhagavatam, dedicated to time. It is called Time According to the Atom. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, he lists time as one of the five main subject matters of the Gita Upanishad, the Bhagavad Gita. Those five are God, the living entity, material nature, activity, and time. Of course, it's a difficult subject matter to grasp time. It can't be so easily perceived as the four other subject matters, the main subject matters, according to Prabhupada and Bhagavad Gita. We can perceive the living entity. You can see me. I can see you. We're obviously surrounded, at least at this point in our existence, by material nature. You can observe activity. We're observing activity throughout the day in the busy streets of Pune. It took us a long time to get here because of the traffic. So activity is quite obvious. We can see God, even in this material nature, in his so-called material form as the Archivigraha, the deity. But seeing time, how do you see time? How do you put your finger on time? It's gone. It's not so easy. You could say time is perceived as the passing of seconds into minutes, into hours, into days, into weeks. You can see the passage of time in your own face in the mirror. You know, when I looked at my face in the mirror as a 16-year-old red-blooded American boy, I was big and strong and handsome. Now I'm old and weak and getting ugly. I can perceive, to some degree, the passage of time. Similarly, those seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, they evolve into years, into decades, into millenniums. In other words, time, quite philosophically, has a past, a present, and a future. So, yeah, I got it, time. A little hard to grasp. Nonetheless, although time is subtle, it's very powerful. Something doesn't have to be very gross, heavy, obvious to be powerful. Like the body's very gross and heavy, earth, air, water, fire, mind, intelligence, ego. But it's controlled by something very subtle, the soul. The soul is infinitesimal. You take a hair and you divide it into 100 parts, divide that into 100 parts, I get 100 parts. 1/10,000 is the tip of a hair, that is the dimension of the soul. And the soul activates the body of an elephant or a whale. So something very subtle is more powerful than matter. The soul is more powerful than matter. Something doesn't have to be gross to be powerful, it can be subtle. The yogi can control people's minds with his mind. So time is, although subtle, time is something extremely powerful. Under the influence of time, everything in this world, from the atom, which is the building block of creation, to the cosmos, which means everything within this creation, it's destroyed. That's how powerful time is. Everything from the atom, and how many atoms are on the tip of a pin? You cannot even calculate with all the IT technology in this world and all the Mac computers. You can't calculate how many. But that's all vanished under the influence of the time factor. Therefore, Vedic Shastra says, time is a representative of God. It's so powerful. By definition, if you go to the Webster's Dictionary, which at least in my country is like the authorized dictionary, we all used it in high school. You look up G-O-D, the most powerful entity, God. One definition. Of course, we can go further into describing God, up to Narayan, to Vrindavan and Krishna's wonderful pastimes. We know everything about Nam, Rup, Gun, Leela, about God. But for now, time is taken as a representative of God because time is all-powerful. Who can stand in the face of time? Time overwhelms the atom to the cosmos. Very powerful. Therefore, Krishna, he identifies as time. Kalosmi loka shaya kripra vrido. He says in Gita, time I am, the destroyer of the worlds. I like Krishna's, I like the form of God in Vrindavan more than time. We can think, Prabhupada focuses on this point, how powerful time is, and how under the influence of time everything disappears. He liked to kind of evolve this concept. He said, think of the many great personalities in this world who worked very hard to establish their dominion over everything. Kings and conquerors and great personalities, even great nations. Under the influence of time, they appear, they have their activity, and then they're gone. I remember sitting one time with Prabhupada in his room in New Mayapur, France. And Prabhupada just, you know, sometimes the spiritual master says something that just connects. You know, that's the guru actually. The guru is the one who says the same thing other devotees are saying, but when he says it, it's like, oh, now I get it. That's guru. Isn't it? Sometimes devotees ask me, how do I know is my spiritual master? They're all nice. I like them all for various reasons. My answer sometimes is, you know, Krishna will reveal who your spiritual master is when you hear him speak, and, oh, now I get it. Now I'm going to become a serious devotee. Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
So we're sitting with Prabhupada in New Mayapur, and, you know, I'd heard these things before, and I'd read these things, and so forth. Then Prabhupada said, I have seen statues of your Napoleon. You know, I'm from America, but Prabhupada's saying, you know, we have American boys and girls. And he said, I have seen statues of your Napoleon. He said, France and Napoleon, he went like this, they're like one. Just like Indians, Subhash Chandra Bose, they're like one, or Gandhi, whatever. But Prabhupada said, where is Napoleon now? He challenged us. He said, France is here. Where is Napoleon? He said, under the influence of time, everything is destroyed. Wow. Everything comes into being, it stays sometimes, and is destroyed. And you think about it, this is the greater picture. Sometimes it's important to step back and get the greater picture so you can understand where you're at and what you have to do to achieve perfection. We get all caught up in little busy activities. We forget to see the greater picture and what is the purpose in life and how to achieve it. So Prabhupada said, just consider that thousands of years ago, people thought the Greek civilization would never end. It was so powerful. The Roman civilization, Prabhupada commented, it was spread throughout Europe and beyond. It was so powerful. Who in those days thought the Roman civilization would cease to exist? What to speak of the British Empire? This will get all of you going. It was once said that the sun never sets on the British Empire. But as history evolved, now they just have a foggy little island and the sun never rises on the British Empire. Similarly, my country, God bless America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. And, you know, now America's you know, coming under the shadow of what they consider to be the great evolving nations. Bharat, India. Of course, you're not Indian. Jivera Supoya Krishnera Nityadas. Watch out. But this is your Prabhudatta Desh. This is your place of service. One time Prabhupada said, all glories to the American devotees, because he appreciated that the Americans took up the pioneer work in the early days to spread the movement. So, we identify and we don't identify. But who now America's under the shadow of India, Brazil, and China. These are the evolving, you know, the writing's on the wall. And similarly, those nations will rise and fall and rise and fall, just as bubbles appear in the ocean for some time and disappear. This is, therefore, Prabhupada said in the Purport, we shouldn't become particularly attached to anything in this world. It's all coming and it's going and it's irrelevant to the real purpose that we're here, which is to become Krishna conscious. Everything else is secondary to the whole purpose of life, which is to revive our eternal relationship with Krishna and go back to the spiritual world where life is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, where all walking is all is dancing, all talking is singing, and there's a Hare Krishna festival every day. So time destroys everything, even this planet. Therefore Krishna says, Kaloshmi, I am that time. And although time is doing this work, he's the great destroyer. Somehow, under the influence of the lucid material energy, we don't notice the passing of time. It's like they call cancer the silent killer. You know, the cancerous cells, it's a type of mutation or something, but I'm not a scientist or a medical doctor, but something goes wrong along the way. There's some mutation, but the nature of cancer is that the lump grows, the cancerous, tumor grows, but you don't necessarily feel it until it pushes on a particular nerve or it upsets the tummy, you can't digest anymore, and then you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, hey, you've got third stage, fourth stage cancer, and you say, what do I do? And he says, well, you do what you want to do, you've only got 6 weeks left. Now, of course, there are measures they take sometimes, and there are individual cases where people overcome. But in general, cancer is called the silent killer because it's very subtle. It's growing and growing and growing. It's kind of evil. It's kind of just like a reminder, hey, you're in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. You should be in the spiritual world serving Krishna. It's a wake-up call. But it's subtle, but it's happening and it's destroying. Cancer is the silent killer. So time, it's something like that as well. It's evolved. We're not noticing how time is evolving. It's a symptom of the conditioned soul that he can't recognize God either in his spiritual form as the Lord or in his so-called material form as time. If time is Kaloshmi, we're not able to perceive how time is evolving and everything is passing, and you know, all the moments that we have in our lifetime are disappearing very quickly, and we're not becoming serious about life. What is life, really? Bob Dylan put it in the philosophy of Gita in a little, I won't say shloka because it's not shastric, but it's a slogan. He not busy being born is busy dying. Krishna says, one who has taken birth, death is certain. And for one who has died, birth is certain. So we should go on with our prescribed duties as devotees and become Krishna conscious, because time is so valuable. We have this time, this opportunity. It's slipping from our fingers very quickly. Like you take an hourglass, right? In the old days, they would keep time. They'd have the hourglass and they'd have the sand on the top, like at the bottom, and they'd turn it over, and they didn't have watches and, you know, like that. So you could see the sand going to the bottom. It was even better than a watch, because what you're perceiving is that, hey, I'm almost out of time. And I have a particular thing I have to do, so I better get busy. It would be nice if we could see, because we don't really know how much time we have. maybe you have a good astrologer, but generally astrologers don't, if they can see when you're going to die, they don't tell you. Because it's just, most people couldn't handle that. But if you could, you have this, you're born and you have a certain amount of sand at the bottom of the hourglass. And once you take birth, then it starts trickling down. That's life. That's the facts. The hard, cold facts of life. We should see this, that we've only, when you're born, as Prabhupada said, sometimes you are allotted a certain amount of breaths. Not one less, not one more. How you use those breaths, that's up to you. There's two paths to follow in this world. There's many activities going on, but there's just two paths that we really follow in life. Privritti Marg and Nivritti Marg. Privritti Marg means the path of sense gratification, which leads to entanglement and degradement, and illusion, deception, fear, doubt. Or the path of Nivritti Marg, which means renunciation, culminating in devotional service to the Lord. You've only got two really choices here. So the hourglass is there, and you start thinking, Pravritti Marg or Nivritti Marg? Should I follow the path of Hiranyakashipu, or should I follow the path of Prahlad Maharaj? We have our heroes in both instances, in both paths. In any path, you have some hero who you can follow. But you see the end result. Phalina Parichate. We judge something by the end result. We judge it by the end result, Phalina Parichate, and by Guru Shastra and Sadhu, we can easily see, even in our youth, what is the end result of Pravritti Marg? Why I should follow that path if it ends in destruction? Whereas if I follow the path of Nivritti Marg, it leads to liberation, to eternal service in the spiritual world. Sense gratification is like nectar in the beginning, but poison in the end. Whereas the path of Nivritti Marg, culminating in devotional service, it's like poison in the end. You can't have five gulajamans, you can only have two. You get my point. We follow some austerities, but it's not so austere. It's like poison in the beginning, but it's like nectar in the end. So understanding these things, we don't procrastinate in our spiritual lives. We become more and more refined, more and more serious. Death can come at any moment. Prabhupada, one time I remember in Germany, he gave a talk and he gave an analogy that also just like brought the point home. He said, like the goats. He said, the goats, the Muslims are slaughtering the goats in the Eid. And they line the goats up outside the slaughterhouse and you know, they open the door and they take a goat in and they slaughter him. Then they open the door, they take the next goat. So inside it's a nasty affair, but the goats outside are in total illusion of what's happening. The goat is just in front of the door. He's happily munching on the grass. He doesn't realize the door opens, you're next. So we're like that. Therefore, one of Prabhupada's favorite verses is about how we're procrastinating and not taking advantage of the time that we have left. Ahanyahani bhutani gacchantila yamalayam shesha tavaram ichanti kimascharam ataparam. Every day hundreds of millions of living entities are going to the kingdom of death. Still those who remain are thinking they will live forever. Yudhishthira says to Yamaraj, what could be a more amazing? So under the influence of time, everyone must die. But the crazy thing is that we're so foolish, actually we think we can stop time and not die. Now wait a minute, that's a strong statement. Stop time and not die. Scientists actually are saying like that. They're saying at some stage, they actually have said in scientific journals, we'll come to the point where we can manipulate, maneuver the material energy in such a way that we can slow down old age, stop old age, and we'll just keep the body going, living forever. And therefore people, having great hope and faith, they give millions and billions of dollars to the scientific industry with the hope that we can become immortal in this world. Prabhupada just laughed. He said, okay, even if it is true, for you and us, it's a post-dated check, because they're not going to come up with that solution in the next, 100 years. If I give you a post-dated check, 1 trillion crores of rupees, and I sign your name, and you see it there, and I date it December 1st, and you're going, yes, keep running, and you write, the year 5064. And you go, wait a minute, that doesn't... But I'm giving you trillion. But I'm only going to be here. What does it matter? Anyway, they can't do it, but Prabhupada just tried to help us focus, It doesn't mean anything. But people think they can avoid death, which is a representation. They think they can... They try. Walt Disney, in the 1950s, the scientists, the medical doctors, they were saying that, we are going to come up with a cure for your cancer, because he developed a particular type of cancer. We're going to come up with a cure for your cancer. Not right now, but maybe in 100 years or something. So what we can do is we can freeze your body. We'll freeze your body right now. We'll slow down the aging process, because when you're frozen, the body doesn't age. Yogis do this. They live for thousands of years because they know how to slow down the aging process through their mystic powers. It's a material power, but it works. So the doctor said to Walt Disney, we will freeze you, and then when we find the cancer, we'll unfreeze you, apply it to your body, and go on. So he agreed to this foolishness. And they froze his body. And they put it in a gigantic freezer in some hospital in Los Angeles. And his family was very happy. We can't see him now, but maybe in 20 or 30 or 40 years, we'll have his association again. Unfortunately, there was a blackout in L.A. 5 years later, and the family members woke up and they realized that, granddad had been unfrozen, and they forgot about him and he died. His body rotted, so to speak. So this type of foolishness is going on. Prabhupada said one time, deathlessness begins at the moment of initiation. You take initiation in the Gaudiya Brahma Vaishnav Sampradaya, you're blessed with the chanting of the Yuga Dharma by which you can perfect your lives. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the result is, at the end of life, if you've awakened your prema by serious chanting, Punarjanma Navidyate. Abrahma Bhuvanaloka Punar Arvito Arjuna Mamopetiti Kontiya Punar Janmanavidite. Krishna, he admits this is a criminal world. This is a horrible place. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But Punar Janmanavidite, if you attain to my abode, Arjuna, you never come back here. That's Krishna's promise. Prabhupada said, who would not accept such a proposition? Who in his right mind would not accept such a proposition to get out of jail and live a free life? Who would not accept a proposition of taking up the chanting of Hare Krishna, remain who you are, do what you do, but give up sinful activity, chant, and at the end of your life go back to Goloka? What person would not accept such a proposition? But Prabhupada said, in this material, everyone is crazy to a greater or lesser degree. So they don't accept the intelligent proposition. One time a devotee asked Prabhupada, when we get back to the spiritual world, when we're in Vaikuntha, we're in Goloka, do we remember our activities, remember our existence, our lives in this material world? When you were in Pune and you were as college student, Prabhupada said, yes. And everyone went, what? He said, you remember. He said, but you see it as a bad dream. He said, sometimes you, at nighttime, you wake up, you're sweating, you're perspiring, you had a bad dream, some nightmare. And as a result, you don't go back to sleep. You get up and start chanting your rounds. You don't hit the snooze button 5 times. You're serious devotees. You get up and chant because you don't want to go back to that dreamlike existence. We can't cheat time. You can't cheat the representative of time, death. You have to accept it as a reality. But transcend time. Just like Dhruva Maharaj. When death personified came to take Dhruva Maharaj from this world, he was by that time such an exalted devotee that he was given the opportunity to get into the Vaikuntha airplane by stepping on the head of death. Death served him in his going back home. Back happily, he stepped on the head of death to get into the Vaikuntha airplane. You can't cheat death. You have to accept it's there, but you have to try to transcend it. Not like that famous potter. You know the story Prabhupada taught about the sculptor? I heard it in 3 lectures, Prabhupada, that there was a sculptor. He went to his astrologer and, you know, the astrologer gave him all the information in his life, but he left out one point, when you're going to die. So he pressed the point, the sculptor. He pressed it. I want to know when I'm going to die. All right? Are you dying? 1 year, 5 days, 3 hours, 2 minutes, and 5 seconds from now. Thank you very much. Well, he went home and he went about his affairs and so forth. And as that year passed and time came closer, he came up with this scheme, like Walt Disney. He could cheat death, cheat Yamaraj. He was a very expert sculptor. He started sculpting statues of himself. And he would paint them in various positions, like this and like this. Reading Bhagavad Gita. Reading Time magazine. You know. So he created 9 of those statues. Expert. You couldn't tell the difference between him and the statue if he froze. Which he did. When that day came, when that hour came, when that minute came, when those seconds came, you know, because he knows, what does it mean? It means Yamaraj comes. Yamaraj is the superintendent of death. It's his thankless duty. Some devotees have thankless services, like Maya. Her thankless duty is to keep the conditioned souls in illusion until they come to the point of becoming serious, and then she lets go. So Yamaraj, he's very busy, and very busy. Because Ahanya Hani Bhutani, every day, millions of living entities are going to the kingdom of death. So he's got, talk about a devotee who's engaged. He's going here, there, and everywhere very quickly. Come on, come on. No, no, come on. Come on, I don't want to come. Yep. He can't lose time. He's a representative of time. So he came on his donkey. Buffalo, sorry. It's not much difference. So, he's on his buffalo and he gets off and he looks at his iPad. Ah, one sculptor. One sculptor. So, he's looking like this and, oh, little pious, but mostly naughty. Take this man quickly. Look, and he was, although he's Dhammaraj, one of the 12 Mahajans, this sculptor was so excellent. For a moment, Yamaraj was fooled. Wait. I've only got a certain amount of time. I have to leave. I don't know which of these 10 forms to take. Which one is the potter, the sculptor? And inside, the sculptor was laughing. I have cheated death. I'm so intelligent. I have cheated death. I have conquered time. He's thinking like this. But of course, Yamaraj again is one of the 12 Mahajans who are the what? Authorities on the science of devotional services, which is the sciences of all science, the science of the soul. That's the real science. That's real education. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam. It's the king of all education. Material education just pales in comparison to any truth in Krishna consciousness in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And here's one of the 12 authorities. eternal 12 authorities. So, he is very intelligent. He came up with an idea. So Yamaraj said, upon inspecting these sculptings, I see many, many imperfections. In fact, this is really sloppy work. I mean, you couldn't sell any of these things in the market. They're just really poor replicas. It's really bad. I mean, look at the nose there is about 2 centimeters off. The distance between those toes, you know, that's not what people's feet look like. The guy who did this is a total idiot. So the sculptor said, I'm not an idiot. I'm known as a very... So Yamara said, thank you very much. Come on. So in Bengali they say, Gaye gu mukle yame charing na. Even if I smeared stool on my body to avoid punishment for my sins, Yamaraj would not release me. So you can't stop death. You could say representative of time. You can't stop. But with our intelligence, we can actually take advantage of death. We can take advantage of time, which culminates in death. We can take, instead of time working against us, devotees can intelligently utilize time to our advantage. Amayo yashta bhutanam jayate yena suvatra tadeva yamayam dravyam napunati chikshitam. Narada Muni said to Yudhishthira, O good soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by that very same thing? This is a very interesting point in our philosophy. Something that has caused the disease, when used in a therapeutic way, can actually cure the disease. And you know the example better than me, that if we get dysentery in the hot season because we drank milk, too much milk, milk heats the body. The Ayurvedic way of curing the dysentery is to take the same substance, milk, turn it into yogurt, dahi, and drink the dahi. That cools the system and the dysentery stops. So apparently this formula has been in use for millions of years because Narada said to Yudhishthira, the same thing that caused the disease when used therapeutically can cure it. So the disease is that we're under the influence of time. What if we use time to our advantage and cure the disease of material existence? And that way time can be our friend. How to do that? Use your time in serving Krishna. We say in French, voila. That is the solution. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you give away and sacrifice should be done as an offering to me. You just turn the tables around. Instead of using time for the purpose of sense gratification, wasting time, utilize every second. Prabhupada said, if you've got time, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And that way time, who is the great destroyer, becomes your friend. If you've got a little more time left in life, that means you can become more Krishna conscious. That's why we would like to live a long time, not to enjoy this world, but because we know it's not easy to become Krishna conscious. So I hope I can live to a ripe old age, so, you know, that I have more time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. As an advantage to old age, Lokanath Swami, in one of his Vyas Puja offerings many years ago, he wrote, I'm glad I'm getting old. I was thinking, what? He said, because now, you know, these desires I had before, they're just disappearing. I'm not so interested in those things which were the cause of my entanglement. You know, I can't enjoy those things anymore. My body just won't allow me to. Now I'm becoming more serious about Krishna consciousness. So time, for a devotee, is a friend. For the karmis, he's the great destroyer. For a devotee, time is a friend because I have more time to become Krishna conscious. Krishna can be very heavy with the materialist, but he can be very kind to his devotees. Ugurapi yunuga evayam svabhaktanam nikeshari keshariva shapotanam anyesham ugra vikrama. Do we have any Nisringa bhaktas here? Although very ferocious, the lion is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nisringadev is very, very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. So for the materialist, the Lord can be like a thunderbolt, kaboom! But for his devotees, he can be soft like a rose. Ayur harati vaipumsham, how does it go? Ujjan ashtam jayanasho tasyarte yat sanonita uttamashloka vartara. Both by rising and setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone except one who utilizes time by discussing topics of the all good personality of Godhead. So use your time wisely. And Lord, He helps us focus on this because He's given us akadasi. Yeah? Akadasi means we cut down our material activities. You know, like to cook grains and a big meal like that, it takes time. But some fruits, some steamed vegetables, it's not... Kadasi doesn't mean we feast on everything that's not grains. No, that's not Akadasi. Akadasi means that, you know, we try not to eat, or we eat less. Or, you know, the traditional Gaudiya way is that you just chant 22 hours, you know, you take one of your days off of work. Instead of utilizing it to go to Disneyland 6 months later, you take off the days of work for Kadasi and you sit home and you chant 22 hours. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So a Kadasi is there, you know, we save time for spiritual activities because it's just helping us to focus. So a devotee utilizes all his time in Krishna's service very carefully because, again, time is a feature of Krishna. And any feature of Krishna we deal with great respect and care. Like the deity form. When we come before the deity, we're properly dressed in clean cloth, showered. Our minds are prepared to come in front of the deity by chanting certain prayers. We offer obeisances. We're not frivolous in front of the deity. Then we leave the temple room. We go back to doing whatever we may be doing. But in front of the deity, we're very respectful. And we sit down to chant the holy names, Nama Chintamani Krishna, Sritanya Rasa Vigaha, which is a form of Krishna. We chant with attention. As Satchinandan Swami says, the three P's, pronunciation, posture, and prayer. And then we, one time in L.A., Prabhupada finished his 16 rounds, took his bead bag and put it on the desk. Now I can do any damn thing I want to do. Because that chanting protects us from the influence of the material energy and gives us the strength to go on with our devotional service. So while we're chanting, we're chanting. When we take prasadam, we're taking prasadam as a way of respecting, worshiping Krishna in the form of that prasadam. So if time, kalosmi, is a representative of Krishna, then we must be very careful and respectful how we utilize our time. If Krishna is kalosmi, if it's a form of the Lord, then we should be very careful how we utilize that time. We shouldn't waste that time. Ayusha shana ekopi, na labhya shvarna kotabi, na chen nira tukam nitri. Kachahani Tatodika. In Niti Shastra, Chanaka Pandit says, even one moment of life spent cannot be regained for millions of gold coins. Therefore, what greater loss is there than time spent uselessly? So because time brings us closer to Krishna, time's our friend, if we utilize it properly. And we don't mind if time brings us to the point of death. I was sitting with one Goswami recently in Vrindavan, and we were discussing, and his wife's mother had passed away. And I was offering some condolences. He said to me, "Swami, why are you lamenting? You're a Swami." I said, "Oh, well, sorry. We don't need these pleasantries here." He said, "We are transcendentalists." He said, "The problems," he said, "there's no problems in dying, because dying means going back to globe." He said, "The problem is living." So if you want to offer some condolences, offer them to me. I'm living. So time can be the friend of the devotee, even in old age, even in suffering. Because as we've heard many times, we're probably more serious in our chanting and our prayers when we're suffering than when we're in good shape. So we should learn to be as Krishna conscious in the good times as the bad times. But like that. And if we utilize time like this, our lives will pass very joyously. Because we know that if you're doing something you like, time passes very quickly. And if you're doing something you don't like, you're always looking at your watch. Time goes very slowly. So if you take up the full path of Krishna consciousness, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, and you apply it as Prabhupada has taught us to apply it in the 24 hours of our lives every day, then your life will pass very quickly and very joyfully, and at the end very easily, back home, back to Godhead for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge in the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Pune Yatra ki. Worldwide Iskan ki. Loka Vrindavan Dhamma ki. Oh, Premanande.
Let us thank Maharaj for this wonderful